Welcome back. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. Our guests today are Dr. Paul Byrne and Bernice Jones. Bernice's website is lifeguardianfoundation.org. We will take calls after the next break at 800-313-9443. If you go to the website, lifeguardianfoundation.org, right on the front page, there is a booklet that you can obtain. It costs $2. It's a second edition as of February 2012. It is a fabulous must-have booklet for everyone that you care about. I recommend that you purchase this booklet. It tells you everything in 30 pages, everything you need to know to protect yourself and your loved ones from being vulnerable to a situation that is very real, and that is having your organs harvested. And if you happen to have a head trauma, if you get into an accident, if you get into a hospital, and they have this program apparently in every hospital where they are waiting for people to come in who have just the right injury, so that they can harvest the organs. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. Every hospital is involved in this. Trauma centers are set up that the most severely injured patients are sent to level one trauma centers, but level one trauma centers are also the transplant centers. And so these things all are interrelated to each other. And there's different ways to treat patients. For instance, patients with head injury, we know that swelling is a problem, so we know to give small amounts of fluid to these patients so that their brain doesn't swell, yet to keep their kidneys and liver in good shape, large amounts of fluids are given to the patients. And these kinds of things, that the patient has no way to discern why the extra amounts of fluids are given. And so things like part of the declaration of brain death is to do what's called an apnea test. And that's not a test for sleep apnea, but the apnea test is a test where they take the ventilator away, the ventilator that is supporting the vital activity of breathing. They take it away for up to 10 minutes. That's like not taking a breath for 10 minutes. It's like suffocating the patient for 10 minutes. During that time, the carbon dioxide goes up, and when the carbon dioxide goes up, that makes the brain swell. It can only make the condition get worse, and it can even cause the patient to die during the process of doing the test. And so part of our instruction to the patients that we have in that booklet that you mentioned is not to do an apnea test. No one should have an apnea test, and everybody needs to know that if your relative has a head injury, the first thing you must say to the doctors is do not do an apnea test. The apnea test can only make the patient get worse, and no one should ever have an apnea test.
How true. And people are at the mercy of the medical staff, and of course they don't know what they're doing to their loved one. And so it's imperative that people understand and be sure to ask the right questions and watch what is happening. So this is, it's imperative information that you're giving, and I'm so grateful for both of you for what you've done, what you've been through, and what you're doing to inform people. All righty, we do have to take a break. We've got some callers lined up, so we'll take some calls when we get back from the break. Stay tuned.
Meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
If you are a vendor dealer who sells any equipment or service that costs more than $15,000, we can help you make the sale through our low-cost lease finance programs. We are good in all 50 states, including Canada, and we have a very wide credit window. Call Bob New today at 888-639-2621 and let us explain in more detail how we can help you make more sales. Call Bob New today, 888-639-2621.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there's only one, Pure Effect Ultra. It features advanced anti-radiation technology and is constantly rated 5 stars as the number one system for reduction of fluoride, drug and chemtrail residues, heavy metals, and more. It raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and provides virtually instant clean water on demand, all while using no electricity. Want to learn more? Visit PureEffectFilters.com. That's PureEffectFilters.com.
Welcome back. Our guests today are Dr. Paul Byrne and Bernice Jones. The website is lifeguardianfoundation.org, and there's quite a nice selection of books available there in addition to the little booklet. So I suggest that you really go throughout the entire website, look at all the articles that are written. I mean, there's a vast amount of resources there at that site. Alrighty, should we take a few calls here? Let's go to Arthur in Georgia. Arthur, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, ladies, and to you too, Doctor. This is a conversation that kind of pretty hard at me because I first heard about this on RBN, another show, a couple months ago, and it dawned on me that I came very close to becoming one of these victims last fall. And I didn't know it at that time, and I was an organ donor. I'm no longer an organ donor because of. And I remember when this conversation came up on another RBN show a few months back, I called in and expressed disgust with people in the medical field who engage in this practice and said that anyone on the nursing staff, a surgeon, anyone who actually believes the garbage that the body is dead before they start harvesting needs to have their medical license jerked, and those who do it and know the truth need to be put on trial, convicted, and hung by the neck until dead. And, of course, that kind of struck host a little bit to where neither one could make a statement. But I remember also recently, didn't we have a congressman received a transplant? And here's my question. Knowing that the majority of our congressmen are lawyers. They know the law. And if they know that the person is still alive when they harvest this organ, are they not complicit in murder? And if this be the case, what can we do to put an end to this? And I'll listen off air. Thank you so much, Ms. Spangola.
Thank you very much.
Well, the answer is that it's legalized murder. And they've made it legal to do these things, and that's part of why it's like it is, because it's the law. And it's the law that says that you can be declared dead when your heart's beating and you got blood pressure and you put out urine, and the like. You have respiration. It's the law. That's done this, and the law that makes it easier to get your organs and to get your organs. It's the HIPAA law that says the government can get your information for this without your permission, without permission from anyone. And it's the law. And yes, the laws are part of the problem, but it's almost like sheep that they get going in a certain direction and they keep going, and if they don't have a good solid direction to start with, like Bernice mentioned about the ad hoc committee at Harvard that was made up of 13 transplant enthusiasts. They didn't have any cardiologists to be on their committee. They didn't have any family physician to be on their committee. They had transplant enthusiasts to be on the committee, and as Bernice said, conjured brain death, and then said they had to make it the law also. And they did that, beginning in Kansas, that had the first state with a law in 1970, and so the caller is correct in the sense that the doctors and nurses know what's going on, and I don't look at them like they are trying to do something evil, but in fact they are doing something evil, and they have to be bound to the same standards that all of us are bound to, but yet they think it's okay. I don't fully understand them. I don't understand how you could cut the beating heart out of someone and not be aware of the fact that someone becomes dead in the process.
Well, I think that, you know, just because something is legal doesn't make it moral. I mean, certainly when you look at abortion, just because it's been legalized, people say, oh, okay, then it's okay. We can go ahead and do it. Even though it's, you know, we used to have values regarding this kind of behavior.
See, abortion, you know, gets looked at from the point of view of the woman and the doctor, but what about the baby? And in organ transplantation, it gets looked at from the point of view of the doctor who does the transplant and the person who receives the organ. But what about the donor? And if you take people like Zach Dunlap, a few years ago, the helicopter was landing to take his organs, and because he had a relative who was a nurse and did another test and got a reaction, and they stopped taking his organs, and as he on the television interview could recall how when they were talking about his being brain dead and taking his organs, and they asked him, well, what did you want to do? And he said something to the effect, I wanted to throw them out the window. And so he can respond and tell us about it because he did not get his organs taken. How many of those who get the organs taken have the same experiences that Zach Dunlap was having at that time, but they don't get to tell us about them because after their beating heart is cut out, they are always dead.
Right. And yet they know what is happening to them. They can feel the pain, but they are not. Most of them are unable to respond or to say stop or.
And even if they would have some response, it's ensured they will not have a response because the paralyzing agents are given to them so that they cannot respond. They ensure no response. In the British Bach documentary several years ago entitled, Are the Donors Really Dead?, they asked the British doctor, well, why do you paralyze them? And he answered in his British accent, well, the people in the operating room would be uncomfortable if it was moving and squirming during the procedure. And it's that kind of thing that to make sure there's no response, they get paralyzed.
And, you know, I'd like to add here, too, we're talking about a mythology. It's a mythology, a theory that has developed through the propaganda as a mythology. We're believing something that is not true, that is propagated, and has become so broad that people do not know the truth to question it. So if you do not know the truth, if you do not question it, there is no problem then, is there? The mythology is what we are believing.
And that's why it's so important what you're doing, Bernice.
Well, you know, people do not like to hear me say that when my son was brought in to ER, when the doctor came out, we did not know that he was put into a drug-induced coma. We did not know about paralyzing drugs. We did not know about the laws. We didn't know that these people that were surrounding us were highly trained to get these organs. We didn't know that every organ donor, every vital organ donor, are targeted. The age, like Dr. Byrne has said before, is 16 to 30, these young, strong men. We didn't know that there was at least three organs per donor that is to be requested. But, you know, when the doctor came out and verbalized to us that his brain was gone, irreversible brain damage, brain death, how many times do you pronounce a person dead? You know, if brain death is supposed to be the death of the human person, how can it be that after he's declared brain dead, which is supposed to be the death of the person, 20 hours later, when they insert the scalpel into our son, it is necessary for them to use both a painkiller and a paralyzing drug. This reality will always be with me. I do not want any family to ever have to suffer the truth after the fact. They must have the truth so that they can stand in the gap against this evil and stand and speak out for those who cannot speak for themselves. And this is what Life Guardian is all about. This is why Dr. Byrne has devoted his entire profession to this. It is the integrity of the medical profession in which, you know, I have met wonderful physicians. Those, in the word physician, one who heals, a physician's responsibility. It is his profession, his, her profession, to nurture the human person, to take care of that human person. And I truly do believe, beyond a doubt, that for the most part, our good physicians, they are still doing that. That is their desire. And but this entity runs on its own. It is fueled on its own. I'm asking Dr. Byrne to explain this. I've sat with my parents, they're elderly, and throughout the years, the many different procedures, surgeries that they've had to go through. I've sat right there and listened to doctors explain in detail what it was that they would have to endure. And when my dad had open-heart surgery in the latter 80s, we even viewed a film so that they would have a complete understanding of the procedures.
Bernice, I'm sorry. We do have to have a break. We'll be right back.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TheraVim.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Our guests today are Dr. Paul Byrne and Bernice Jones. The website is lifeguardianfoundation.org. And Bernice, you were talking about the film that your father viewed to explain what was going to happen to him during surgery and how important that was to you and to your parents.
Well, yes, and what I was going to go on to say as far as organ transplantation is concerned, there is nothing divulged to the family with regards to what is going to happen to their loved one. Goodness, if this were, there would be no organ donors. If this truth were known, organ transplantation, as it is today, would collapse. No loving person would subject their loved one to this horror. The chemical perfusion alone, immediately after our son was falsely declared brain dead, which was after the apnea test, which I call medical strangulation, the doctor knew that our son could not take a breath on his own. He was under the influence of a paralyzing drug at that time. The whole thing is so gruesome that this is the reason why they emphasized the good that can come from it. The whole emphasis is on the transplant recipient, like Dr. Byrne said. This has been so depressed for so long, and the focus to be on the good that may come from it, that we are not to look at the source, the organ donor, the innocent, defenseless, helpless patient in the hospital who has no voice. And but I do not know under any other circumstances in the medical field where such is done in this way. I think that still today you are informed of the procedure, any procedure. So, you know, and this is something that Dr. Byrne is going to have to talk about as a physician.
As a physician, even if I'm going to give a vaccine to a patient, I have to inform them as to why it's to be done and what's to be expected and the side effects and the like. And so is every surgeon who ever operates on a patient. It's required that the surgeon present what he's going to do, why he's going to do it, give the patient alternatives and the like. And yet when the people go to the license bureau to get a learner's permit or a driver's license, they are simply asked the question, do you wish to be an organ donor? Or another way they ask it is, do you wish a designation on your driver's license that you wish to be an organ donor? But they're not given any information about what it entails to get the organs and the like. And so it's a violation of informed consent when they're being asked at the license bureau, and then the surgeon does not talk to the people about the organs and doesn't get the relatives, doesn't talk to the relatives about the procedure and the like. It's the organ procurement organization people who do it. These are all violations of basic principles of medicine and how we're expected to act, and yet it's accepted across the board that this kind of behavior can go on. The general public has to become aware of what's happening, and it's truly a subterfuge as to how these things are being carried out. And my study was a study, is brain death true death? And incidentally, we do have a book that's available, Is Brain Death True Death? And it gives many more of the details. And this book has chapters in it authored by various specialties in medicine, by philosophers, from people from all over the world, from Japan, from Liechtenstein, from England. Multiple countries have chapters in this book. It's called Is Brain Death True Death? And it's available through Life Guardian Foundation .org that the people can get this book, and they should get it. Everyone should get this book and read it.
Absolutely, I agree.
Deanna, what informed consent is the ability to make an informed decision.
Yes.
And that's the basis of this, is to make that informed decision. I truly believe that if someone having the knowledge of what it truly means to be an organ donor, that you're a living person and that your life-saving therapy can be circumvented for the purpose of organ transplantation, then wouldn't that be an equivalent of a means of euthanasia or suicide?
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, and I don't think that, so few of us of faith are going to condone suicide.
Of course not.
You know, and this is just something that just can no longer continue. Informed consent must be a part of the organ donation if they want to continue their industry.
Yes, absolutely. All righty. We do have to go to a break. We will be back, and we have some other callers, so we'll take some calls when we come back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
We are back. Our guests today are Dr. Paul Byrne and Bernice Jones. The website is lifeguardianfoundation.org, and we do have some callers. Let's take Neil in Indiana. Neil, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna.
Hi.
I guess the previous caller was wondering about Vice President Dick Cheney, how he needed the heart transplant and miraculously got it in 28 days when there are people on the list longer. You know, I felt like that stopped with Larry Hagman. But anyway, my point is, I was in a coma for 3 days and unconscious for five more. And when I came out of it, there wasn't a happy face in that hospital. I mean, it's like they had me all pieced up, you know, for different things. And they were getting ready to declare me brain dead or something, like Terry Schiavo. And they wouldn't tell me what happened, wouldn't tell me a thing. I'd broken my collarbone in two places, and they had a strap on my back, pulling my shoulders back, and they wouldn't tell me what it was there for. And so every time they left the room, I would loosen, and eventually they had to put me in a cast. But I went from intensive care just walking right out the front door, you know, 5 days later. So anyway, I can see this. I mean, they once they declare you brain dead, they're not there to help you anymore. You know, they're just there to harvest your what you got going inside of you. But anyway, my question is, on Terry Schiavo's case, do you think that they had her all cut up and had her organs donated to different people?
Well, first of all, Terry Schiavo was never declared brain dead. And that's a different question. And yes, people do get this mixed up and confused, but there was never any confusion about that of us that are knowledgeable about these situations. Terry Schiavo was never declared brain dead. Terry Schiavo is a different kind of situation because what they did is they took away her food and water. And Terry, when they took away her water, in 13 days she was dead, just like you and I and everyone without water were all dead in 1 to 2 weeks. Without food, we're all dead in 1 to 2 months. So, and without oxygen, we're all dead within minutes, kind of thing. And so we need oxygen, circulation, and respiration. What happens is that as ways of getting organs gets expanded, there are people who would like to get organs from people like Terry Schiavo. After all, instead of just dehydrating her to death, why not make the decision and then get her organs before she became dead? They didn't take her organs, and as evil and as awful as it was what happened to Terry Schiavo, it should not be confused with the other issue. She was never declared brain dead.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Neil. All righty, let's take Chris in Las Vegas. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Gina, doctors, and Dr. Byrne and his assistant there, Bourget, I should say.
Bernice,
in the back of discussion, you never fail to titillate the audience out here with new information that's so relevant and so hidden from us. I was doing some law research this morning. I found some very interesting things in the investigative truism of Follow the Money, and I found this site called the Terra Viva Foundation, or Live Earth. And on that foundation, it seems to have direct relationships to the financial aspects of the egregious unjust enrichments that may be obtained from the contribution of harvesting or stealing these organs from these people in these murderous schemes. And this Terra Vita Foundation has quite a few, appear to be, we'll call them Ashkenazi-related names associated with ASHK prefixes on them, including Aga Khan, which is Ali Khan, and here's one called the Fire Dog, firedoll.org, F-I-R-E-D-O-L-L. And Fire Doll, I believe, is a reference to Ashtoreth and Moloch, which were fire god worshippers and Canaanite cannibalistic sacrificers of children, and burning them in the fires of Moloch. And I believe that there are aspects that relate to this specifically, and if there's a contact page on the doctor's website, I would be glad to forward this information to him.
Okay, you can send it to me, and I can forward it.
Absolutely. This is a whole new realm of technocratic dementia that's being purported as medical. And here's what the foundation of it is. Their grants are intended for pilot projects, and part of what they do are they help those affected by traumatic brain injuries. Is this ruse to get this money from everybody else? And I'm sure they sell these organs when they're donated under the voluntary donation scheme purported by DMVs and other agencies.
Okay, your thoughts, Dr. Byrne.
First of all, the voluntary donation kind of concept, if they want to donate to us, we are in need of financial support for what we do. Bernice and I basically have done what we've done on our own finances, so if they want to go someplace that is going to do some good, they should be sending their donations to us, and as well as to you, Deanna, for the good work that you do. I'm not aware of all the things, all the organizations and the like that the man mentioned, but I am very much aware of the fact that there, every time an organ is transplanted, it's a healthy organ that comes from a living person, and the living person either becomes dead or weaker every time an organ is transplanted. So So I'm very much aware of that. So anyway, stay in touch, and we'll continue to do the best we can.
All righty. Thank you, Chris. Pardon me?
He's doing marvelous, and we bless him and thank him for his work.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, when they take an organ, when they harvest an organ, don't they have somebody already in mind to give this organ to? In other words, they keep the body alive and the organs vital until they find a recipient. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes. Actually, when in Bernice's son's case, he was declared brain dead late in the evening, and as Bernice mentioned, they didn't take his organs until 20 hours later. And so what was that all about? It was all about lining up the people to the recipients for the organs. And so brain death is not about stopping a ventilator. It's about continuing the ventilator until it's more convenient to get the organs out. That is, until they have the recipients all lined up to give the organs to. And that's what's going on. And as Bernice mentioned, her son was declared brain dead late in the evening. And yet they didn't take his organs until 20 hours later. During that entire time, his heart was beating. He had blood pressure, put out urine, and many aspects. He got better care after a declaration of brain death than he got before he was declared brain dead, and yet they didn't officially declare him dead until after they had taken his organs 20 hours later.
Terrible. Now, I understand that in the 1970s, the pharmaceutical industry introduced drugs that prevented organ rejection. So you actually have to figure out that the pharmaceutical industry and the medical industry, at least those who were participating in this extraction of organs, were kind of collaborating together, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And the way it's set up naturally, organs cannot be transplanted from one to another. We reject the organs from each other, and so there are anti-rejection drugs that all organ recipients have to take for the rest of their life, and they all have side effects also. Nature does know how to accept the body of someone who is foreign to them, because nature does it during pregnancy. And so nature knows how to turn off the rejection process, because that occurs during pregnancy. So it isn't that nature doesn't know how to do it. Nature does know how to do it, but never does it outside of pregnancy. Nature will always reject the organ from someone else, and so the drugs that have to be taken by the recipients of organs all have side effects. And incidentally, it counteracts their natural immune system, so many of the recipients of organs die of cancer, or they die of some infection because they can't fight the infection. And so it isn't that it's without problems. There are problems, but my focus on Bernice's focus has been on what happens to the donors. Are the donors really dead when they take the organs? And the answer is the donor cannot be truly dead when they take the organs. Every donor must be a living person, and in the process they become either dead or weaker, depending on which organs that are taken.
Right.
It's a dehumanization process as well. You have a patient that has been injured, like my son, is in the hospital, who needs medical therapy. And once he is an organ donor, think about that. My son went from being his person, an individual who is needing for his life to be protected and preserved. And now he is labeled a dehumanizing label, an organ donor. and he is segregated from the rest of the population. He is a reclassified human person. He's not even considered a living person anymore. That concept in itself is mind-boggling. How can we do that? How can that be possible, that a person can be viewed in any other way than a defenseless human person in the hospital that needs medical therapy to protect and preserve life?
Right.
It is, I I've known about this now for 12 and a half years, and it is still unbelievable that our society has moved to this position, and which is moral depravity. You know, we're just, our minds are seared as though with a hot iron. And we have to understand that under no circumstances is a human person a lesser than any other person. All people are created equally in his right. likeness and in his image. They're all his children. And this is first and foremost. And secondly, and Dr. Byrne has been saying it, and I've been saying it, isn't it quite simple? The organ donor is alive. There's no such thing as being a little bit alive. The organ donor is alive.
Right. Well,
and until true death, that person should be loved and nurtured and cared for.
Yes, and that is what medicine was all about, do no harm.
Yes.
That is what doctors, they take an oath that they will help their patients. And so what has occurred with these doctors? Because certainly they know. These doctors that participate in this know. So is it all about corporate profit for these people?
Well, I can't get inside the mind of anyone else, Deanna, but you mentioned the oath, and yes, when I graduated from medical school, we did take the Hippocratic Oath, but that is no longer taken. Doctors don't take the Hippocratic Oath anymore. In the 70s, they stopped taking the Hippocratic Oath, so it's different. The Hippocratic Oath basically said that do not kill and do not cause harm. First, do no harm. To summarize it, and yet they stopped taking that oath. And part it has to do with a culture. It has to do with how people are made to think. And abortion was made legal in 1973, legal to kill the unborn baby that you can't even see. But prior to that, it was made legal to kill the 19-year-old, the 20-year-old to get their beating heart. That began in 1968 with the Harvard Committee and then became legalized the first state in 1970. And all states have such laws now. But it was already legal to cut the beating heart out of somebody who's 20 years old before they legalized abortion. I question, would abortion have ever been legalized had they not already legalized the person who's 16 to 30? That's the ones that have the most healthy organs, and that's where the focus is on, primarily on them, and they can't get enough of them to get organs, so they expand it out to other ages and other kinds of things. And so yes, as Bernice mentioned, and as you've mentioned, Deanna, it has gone on quietly in a very subtle fashion, but no longer can it be that way. The people must wake up to the fact that every time an organ is taken for transplantation, the donor has a beating heart, the donor has respiration, the donor has circulation, and when it is a heart that is transplanted, in the few instants just before the heart, the beating heart is stopped by the transplant surgeon and lifted out of the chest and then transplanted into someone else. And that beating heart is more than just a muscle. It has an intrinsic nervous system that must be intact when they take it out, and it's still intact when it's transplanted into someone else. It's required, and the heart is more than just a muscle and more than just muscle and nerves. It's the center of our whole self, the center of how we love each other. We've given that kind of thing to the heart, and to think that we can cut the beating heart out and give it to someone else, it's contrary to just common sense to think that we can do these things.
Yes, and you mentioned how our culture has drastically changed, and all about the same time, but it started in 1968 at Harvard. Unbelievable. And it is very significant that abortion followed that in 1973, that the pharmaceutical company industry introduced the drugs. And what occurred? What happened to us in the last, 50 years? Amazing. We do have to cut to a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Our guests today have been Dr. Paul Byrne and Bernice Jones. The website is lifeguardianfoundation.org, and I highly recommend that you go there, make a donation if you can, buy some books if you can, for sure purchase the one for $2 that tells you the basics But please support this website, and please share this website with everyone that you know. Talk to other people about this. The word has to get out. I would be very interested in knowing exactly who sat on that Harvard committee in 1968. Do we know who participated in this?
Yes, we do know. I don't know all their names offhand. But I do know that one of them was Henry Beecher, and of course they're able to be found. But the significant thing about that Harvard committee is that Christian Bernard did a heart transplant in South Africa in 1967, and that became known all over the world. But what did not become known all over the world was the second heart transplant was done 3 days later in Brooklyn, New York. In Brooklyn, New York, they cut the beating heart out of a three-day-old baby and transplanted it into an 18-day-old baby. And so it was illegal and immoral. And in order to find, and the desire was to get beating hearts because they knew they couldn't get a heart that had stopped for transplantation. They had tried that and it didn't work. So the, and so in the case of the baby had mental retardation and was given to another one who was not retarded, but it didn't work. But it was still illegal and immoral. And so, the way to get around this, they set up a committee at the prestigious Harvard University, and the Harvard committee didn't have consultation from anyone outside of transplant enthusiasts and came up with a criteria, which is known as the Harvard criteria, but they did it without doing any experiments on dogs or cats or the like. They did it without any patient data. They just published it in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and essentially without any medical references. There's only one reference, and that reference is to Pope Pius XII. But the quotation that they got from Pope Pius XII had to do with looking to the doctors for guidance, which seems a reasonable thing for a pope to do. But on the other hand, what they left out is that Pope Pius XII said, we are to presume that human life continues so long as vital functions are present, even when supported by artificial means. So the Pope gave moral guidance, which they chose to ignore and go on and do what they wanted to do, because the desire was to get beating hearts for transplantation. And the Harvard Committee was set up the first criteria, not based on science. Brain death is not based on any scientific studies at all. I just mentioned the Harvard criteria, no animal studies, no patient studies. The second criteria was the Minnesota criteria. It was a study of only 9 patients so far as brainwave activity.
I'm sorry to cut you off. We've come to the end of our program. Thank you so much, Dr. Byrne. Thank you so much, Bernice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deanna.
Appreciate all you do. Bless your hearts. Thank you so much. Talk to you Monday. Bye-bye, listeners.
The next